السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ہمارے بچے عموماً
حضور says that mashallah our children normally finish their first reading of the Holy Quran at a very young age. Mothers who have a greater concern that their children should quickly finish their Holy Quran make great efforts to this effect. Here as well, and also in other countries, whenever I go on tours, children and parents are most eager that their children should recite the Holy Quran before me and the Ameen ceremony should be conducted. However, I have noticed that once the Holy Quran has been completed the first time, to instill the habit in the children of continuously repeating and revising and reciting it, there is not much concern or efforts in this way. In comparison to the efforts that are made for the first reading of the Holy Quran to be completed. Because normally when I ask that are you regularly reciting the Holy Quran or not, then sometimes it can be deciphered from the reading style of the person. Generally, the response I receive is that they are not reading on a regular basis. While the fact is that mothers and fathers, after they complete the first reading of the Holy Quran of their children, should supervise and hold due concern by inculcating the habit in their children of regularly reciting the Holy Quran. Therefore, your concern should not be limited to having the first reading of the Quran finished only. Rather, after the Quran is finished for the first time, there is a need to supervise your children regularly. Most certainly, to conclude the first reading of the Holy Quran is an extremely important task. Some mothers achieve this first reading of the Holy Quran when the children are but 4 or 5 years old. Undoubtedly, this is a task that requires great endeavor. But, as I said, to maintain the constant and regular reading of the Holy Quran is of even greater importance. Recently, I received a letter from a lady where she mentioned my mother. This lady said that one thing that your mother said to me, for which I am still grateful today, is that once I took my child to your mother after she had completed the reading of the Holy Quran, and I told her proudly that this child has completed reading the Holy Quran at the age of 6. In response, your mother said, "This is no great achievement to have your child finish reading the Holy Quran at the age of 5 or 6. Now tell me this. How much love have you instilled of the Holy Quran in your child's heart?" Hazur says that this is the reality, that alongside reading the Holy Quran, to instill the love of the Holy Quran in the child's heart is most essential. It is then that children will be interested in reading the Holy Quran, especially in the age through which we are passing, where children have many other interests. For example, there is television, there is the internet, and there are other books. So when the child regularly recites the Holy Quran in the morning, and he regularly studies the Holy Quran, this would make the child aware of the significance of the Holy Quran. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has also drawn attention towards this, that in this time there are diverse interests in the world. Different kinds of books are available that interest in different way. There are new sciences that are being introduced. In such times, the reading of the Holy Quran becomes of even greater significance, and we need to draw our attention towards this. Hazur says, in short, we need to give immense heed towards reading and reciting the Holy Quran. Love of the Holy Quran will be instilled in the hearts of children when parents themselves read and recite the Holy Quran. When parents themselves reflect and meditate upon the Holy Quran and they make this a habit. When parents give inclination and heed towards reading the Holy Quran. When from every home after the morning prayer, or if nowadays due to the winter the Fajr prayer being late, somebody having to leave for work early, in such a case, if before the Fajr prayer he regularly recites the Holy Quran, then that house, due to this recitation of the Holy Quran, will be filled with blessings, and the child will also be inclined towards this. The children will follow those acts of goodness and piety that are to be found in a mu'min, a true believer. Subsequently, as the child grows up, progressively, the love and honor of the Holy Quran will increase in the child's heart. Then every single one of us will witness that if the Holy Quran is being read regularly and with due diligence and meditation, husband and wives will demonstrate mutual love and affection for the sake of Allah the Almighty within the households. Consequently, this will make their children into useful members of the Jamaat or the community. In addition, the moral training of the children would be carried out in a most excellent manner. It is this that an Ahmadi needs to strive towards, to make it a part and parcel of his life, and he needs to give due heed and diligence towards this. In this time, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, peace be upon him, in order to instill this within our hearts, has made great efforts that we should give the Holy Quran a greater status than everything else in the world. That we should give the most honor to the Holy Quran in comparison to everything else. Respect and honor of the Holy Quran should not be limited, as is normally the case amongst the non-Ahmadis. That they merely wrap the Holy Quran in a beautiful cloth, place it on a beautiful shelf, or inside a beautiful container or box. Real honor of the Holy Quran, real love of the Holy Quran, is that one should make maximum efforts to obey the commands entailed within it. That one should make what the Holy Quran forbids and permits a part and parcel of his life. Those acts that Allah the Almighty has forbidden us from following, a person should prevent himself from acting upon those. And those acts that Allah the Almighty has instructed us to follow, A person should utilize all his capacities and all his capabilities to follow that. And one should read the Holy Quran with the fear of God in his heart. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, in manifold places in his books, also in his assemblies and also in his writings, has explained the great importance of the Holy Quran, and he has mentioned all these aspects. The promised Messiah alayhi salam has mentioned the expectations he has of one who initiates, who does the bayt or takes the pledge of allegiance, and of one who is an Ahmadi. Therefore, we need to fill our homes with the recitation, the tilawat of the Holy Quran. There is a great need for this. It is essential that alongside the recitation of the Holy Quran, the translation of the Quran is also read so that the injunctions entailed within it can be comprehended. At home, before the child, alongside reading the Holy Quran out, in order to make them understand, you should read out the translation of the Holy Quran. Do not only instill the habit of reading the Holy Quran itself, rather such gatherings should be held where small points are extracted from the Holy Quran and are explained to the children so that interest for the Holy Quran is also developed in them. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has deemed the understanding of the translation of the Holy Quran and the prayer as most essential. Yet to only read the translation and to not read the original Arabic text is not allowed. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says, "We certainly do not allow that only the translation of the Holy Quran is read. This negates the miracle of the Holy Quran." One who suggests this, that is, it is only enough to read the translation, wishes the Holy Quran not to remain in the world. Hazur says that, indeed, a great miracle of the Holy Quran is that its text remains intact until today. This is a miracle, and a great miracle, most certainly, that it is still in its original form. In fact, this is a proclamation of Allah, "Inna nahnu nazzalna zikra wa inna lahu lahafizun," that verily, we ourselves have sent down this exhortation, and most surely we will be its guardian. As the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has explained that this is a miracle that the Holy Quran continues in its original Arabic text form until today. Even the fiercest critics of Islam, the most major opponents of Islam, they even are forced to admit that the Holy Quran is still preserved in its original and true form until today. If we were to only rely on translations, then we would see that the translations are most diverse. When our translation is presented to the world, then they admit that this translation of yours is completely different from other, because non-Ahmadis have not translated the Quran correctly. There is a priest who is a prominent detractor of Islam from America. He obtained various translations of the Holy Quran. He did not look at the Arabic original text. Based on those translations, he said that Islam and the Holy Quran say this and that. When we sent him our Quranic commentary, he did not respond. And after much following up, all he said was the following: that the translations that I received, they were written by Muslims. In any case, it is the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, alone, who even in the translation of the Holy Quran has brought us near to the original Arabic text and has elucidated to us its true meanings and inner depths. Here, incidentally, I should also mention that recently, I came across an objection by a detractor of Ahmadiyyat. And in that, he stated that if Mirza Sahib was a prophet, then why did he ask his Jama'at, that is his community, that follow Imam Abu Hanifa? The response to this can be found in the writings of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, because he has never said follow Imam Abu Hanifa, but with reference to the Holy Quran. I should mention that in an assembly of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, somebody mentioned that in the Hanafi creed, only reading the translation of the Holy Quran is deemed sufficient. In reply, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says that if this was the creed of the great Imam, it was his mistake. Hazur says that that was an erroneous concept. Indeed, he was an Imam. He gave great services towards Islam and he mentioned many different issues in his writings. But if he has stated that reading the translation is sufficient, then that is wrong. In any case, in this era, Allah the Almighty sent the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, as a means to truly safeguard the Holy Quran. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, advised his community to understand, comprehend, and love the Holy Quran in manifold places. In one place, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, writes, "The Holy Quran is the law of the heavens and is a source of salvation." Hazur says, although the context of this quote is a debate, where the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, was proving the death of Jesus, peace be upon him, in light of the Holy Quran. Yet, this is a general principle, that the Holy Quran is a law of the heavens, and in this way it is a means of salvation. If we observe, then laws of the world are not of any use if they are just established until those laws are actually enforced and they are abided by. Similarly, the law of the Holy Quran will only be beneficial and useful, it will only be a means of salvation when the Holy Quran is followed. If the Holy Quran's commands are not abided by, then it cannot be a means of salvation. By just reading the Holy Quran and not following what is entailed within, you cannot acquire salvation and you will not receive the pleasure of God Almighty. And we would not receive the rewards and the blessings of God the Almighty. Therefore, to comprehend and understand the teachings of the Holy Quran and then to follow and abide by those commands is absolutely essential. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says in one place, "Remember, the Holy Quran is a fountainhead of real blessings and a source of salvation." It is an error on the part of those people who do not practice the Holy Quran. One group amongst those who do not practice the Holy Quran is those who do not have any faith in it. Such persons do not consider it to be a word of God. These people are very remote and far off. But those people who say they believe that this is a word of God and that this is a healing formula of salvation, if they do not practice on it, then that would be so regrettable and astonishing. Many among them are they who have not read the Holy Quran their entire lives. Therefore, the example of people who are negligent and careless about the word of God is similar to a person who knows that such and such spring is extremely pure, sweet, fresh, and its water is like an elixir and heals many ailments. He has certain knowledge of this, yet in spite of this knowledge, and in spite of being thirsty, and in spite of being embroiled in many ailments, he does not go near this spring. How unfortunate and ignorant of him. He should have drunk from the spring and should have satiated from his delicious and healing water and cherished it. Yet, in spite of being aware of this, he is as distant from it as an unaware person. Hazur says, "May Allah the Almighty enable us to act upon these moving, passionate and heart-filled words and to act upon and abide the Holy Quran and to comprehend and understand it. We will only fulfill the dues of our bayat, our pledge of allegiance truly, when we apply the teachings of our Holy Quran upon ourselves. The teaching of the Holy Quran is this, as I stated earlier, that we should avoid every vice mentioned in it, and every pious act that is entailed therein, we should strive to act upon, and we need to make every effort to follow that." The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states, The Holy Quran does not simply require that a person, having given up evil, should assume that now I have attained excellence. Rather, the Holy Quran wants to define man with supreme excellences and high morals, and that his actions and his deeds involve sympathy and the welfare of mankind. The consequence of which should be that Allah the Exalted is pleased with this person. Therefore, if a mu'min, a believer, truly loves the Holy Quran, then he strives to attain such a standard himself, and he does reach such a standard. And he also makes efforts to take his children to that standard and that level. As the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has explained, avoiding evil and bad acts is no achievement. That is, to prevent yourself from carrying out any bad act, that is no great form of excellence. That should not be our aim. Rather, our targets should be very lofty, and we need to strive to accomplish those targets. All the virtues that are mentioned within the Holy Quran, we need to apply upon ourselves. When every man, woman, and child makes efforts to this effect, then a pure society will be established. Such a society will be established, which Islam desires to form. And with silence, those who raise objections against Islam regularly. Here, two women who are renowned nowadays, and who raise excessive objections against Islamic laws in their lectures. Recently, through the efforts of Khuddam al-Ahmadiyya UK, a debate was held with them at UCL. This debate was organized by the administration of the university. In this debate, these two ladies, as is their normal routine, presented excessive objections against Islam. But our Khuddam, amongst whom one was of Pakistani origin who studies here in Jamia Ahmadiyya UK, and the second was a new convert of English origin. Both of these responded to them in such a positive, reasoned and strong manner in light of the teachings of the Holy Quran and in light of the true teachings of Islam, that I heard that they were left indignant and completely upset. In fact, even their supporters expressed regret in the manner in which they objected in an excessive manner. Thus, with the grace of Almighty Allah through the Ahmadi youth, the teachings of Islam gained victory and triumph. Therefore, we need to make great efforts to comprehend and understand the teachings of the Holy Quran, and we need to strive to implement and apply those teachings. It is then that our homes would become paradise-like, and we would be enabled to fulfill our dues of tabligh in our society, that is, the preaching of Islam. Teaching the manner of reciting the Holy Quran, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says, the Holy Quran should be read in deep reflection, with concentration, and with great pondering. It is mentioned in the hadith, رُبَّ قَارِ يَلَنُ الْقُرْآنِ. In other words, there are many qari, that is, reciters of the Holy Quran, who are cursed by the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran curses the person who reads the Quran but does not practice on it. When one comes across a verse donating blessings while reciting the Quran, blessings should be sought from Allah the Exalted at that juncture. Where torment on people is mentioned in the Holy Quran, entreaty should be made to God for his refuge from his torment. And it should be read with care and concentration and with deep reflection, and it should be acted upon. Hazur says that this state can only be developed when the importance of the Holy Quran is understood and you develop a special connection with the Holy Quran. Thus, we need to instill this importance and special connection for the Holy Quran within our hearts. Regarding the excuse of some people who state that the Holy Quran is extremely difficult to understand. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, explains that some foolish people say that we cannot understand or comprehend the Holy Quran, and this is why you should not give attention towards it, because it is difficult. This is their mistake. The Holy Quran has elucidated matters of faith with such eloquence that is peerless and matchless. The arguments provided in the Holy Quran influence the hearts. The Holy Quran is so powerful and eloquent that it was even understood by the nomads of Arabia, who were completely illiterate. Then, how can people of the current age not understand it? Hazur says, it is an immense favor of Allah the Exalted upon us that He commissioned the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. The promised Messiah, peace be upon Him, not only explained the apparent commandments to us, in fact, He also unraveled the deeper truths and insights of the Quran for us. And He granted us the beneficence of وَآخَرِينَ مِنْهُمْ لَمَّا يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ, and among others from among them who have not yet joined them. So therefore, we should try and accumulate the treasures that the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, peace be upon Him, that He gave to us. This can only occur when we truly love the Holy Quran. There are many people in the world who are outside of this Jamaat amongst the Muslims who are excellent reciters of the Holy Quran. They receive awards for this, and they have cassettes which are circulated all over the world. But there are also amongst them who are excellent reciters of the Holy Quran, but do not know about the inner depths and meanings of the Holy Quran, including senior religious scholars. For this reason, the issue of the abrogation of the verses of the Holy Quran has continued for a long time. Even now, they do not comprehend certain verses of the Holy Quran, including the issue surrounding the death of Jesus, peace be upon Him, mentioned in the Quran. In any case, they are unaware and ignorant of the true meanings of the Holy Quran. Regarding this, there is an alarming and frightening hadith related by Abbas bin Muttalib, who said that, I heard the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, state that that time is going to come when there will be the reciters of the Holy Quran such who will boast that there is no bigger reciter of the Holy Quran than them, and there is no bigger scholar than them. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam inquired from the companions that, do you find anything good among such people? The companions replied that, absolutely not. The Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, responded, these people will be from among you and from this ummah, this Muslim community, but they will be the fuel of the fire of hell. Hazrat says, therefore, the true means of attaining Allah's blessings, the true means of nearness to Allah the Almighty, and of saving oneself from the fire of hell, is to understand the teachings of the Holy Quran with humbleness and humility, and to implement it. It is not to make a worldly living out of it, but rather to love it truly. Today, it is the duty of every single Ahmadi to pay heed towards this and to acquire this. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, peace be upon him, says in one place, be alert. Hazur says, this is mentioned in Kishtiyanu, our teaching, that be alert and do not take a single step contrary to divine teaching and the guidance of the Holy Quran. I tell you truly that any person who evades the least one of the 700 commands of the Holy Quran shuts upon him the door of salvation. The ways of true and perfect salvation have been opened by the Holy Quran, and all the rest is its reflection. Therefore, study the Holy Quran with care and hold it very dear with a love that you have not for anything else. Because as God Almighty addressed me saying, Al-Khayru Kulluhu Fil Quran, that all good is contained in the Quran. This is entirely true. Those people are to be pitied who prefer anything to the Holy Quran. The fountainhead of all your prosperity and salvation is the Holy Quran. There is no religious need of yours which is not fulfilled by the Holy Quran. On the Day of Judgment, the Holy Quran will confirm or deny your faith. There is no other book under heaven beside the Holy Quran which can furnish you with salvation and guidance. God has been very favorable and beneficent towards you that He has bestowed a book like the Holy Quran upon you. I tell you truly that if the book that is recited to you had been recited to the Christians, they would not have perished. If this bounty of guidance which has been bestowed upon you had been bestowed upon the Jews in place of the Torah, some of their sects would not have denied the Day of Judgment. Therefore, value this favor that has been bestowed upon you. It is a very dear and beautiful favor. It is a great wealth. If the Quran had not been revealed, the whole world would have been left like a dirty lump of flesh. The Quran is the book in contrast to which all other guidance amounts to nothing. Then the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states that an important teaching for you is that do not leave the Holy Quran. Because your life is in the Holy Quran. Those people who give honor to the Holy Quran will be given honor in the heavens. Those people who give precedence to the Holy Quran over every statement and hadith will be given precedence in the heavens. Now, for humankind upon the earth, there is no book but the Holy Quran. And for all children of Adam, there is no prophet or intercessor but the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. So therefore strive to inculcate true love with this great prophet and do not hold superior anyone else over this messenger of Allah so that salvation can be destined for you in the heavens. Remember, salvation is not something that will manifest after death. Rather, true salvation is that which shows its light in this very life. Who is granted salvation? Salvation is given to one who believes that Allah is true and that Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is an intercessor between God and the rest of creation, and who believes that under the heavens there is no messenger equal to this messenger, and that under the heavens there is no book equal to the Holy Quran on the earth. Allah did not desire for any person that he should remain alive forever, but God willed for this esteemed prophet to have eternal life. And in order to facilitate this, God has laid the foundation for his spiritual beneficence to remain until the Day of Judgment. Hazur says, in other words, the law, the shariat of the Holy Prophet ﷺ and the spiritual beneficence of him will remain until the end of time. And then he continues that, finally, through his spiritual beneficence, the promised Messiah was sent to this world. His coming was essential for the completion of the structure or the building of Islam. Because it was certain that before the end of the world, for the Muhammadan dispensation, a Messiah would be sent in the spiritual sense. Just as in the Mosaic dispensation, it was granted. This is indicated in the verse, اِحْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْأَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Guide us in the right path, the path of those on whom Thou hast bestowed Thy blessings. Hazur says that may Allah make it so that we, our children and our future generations, whoever comes until the Day of Judgment, who are going to accept the Messiah of Muhammad, that they hold true love for the Holy Quran and that they apply it and practice it in their lives. And that at every moment they continue to attain blessings from His beneficence.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ